Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Governor Mike Dunleavy and Environmental Conservation Commissioner Jason Bruni visited a proposed metals mine site near Haines on Monday. Constantine's Palmer Project is a source of both excitement and controversy in Upper Lynn Canal. As KHNS's Claire Strempel reports, the unannounced visit comes as state regulators consider a key permit.
Governor Mike Dunleavy and DEC Commissioner Jason Bruni reportedly toured Constantine Metal Resources' Palmer Project on Monday afternoon. There was no announcement before or after, and the governor's office didn't confirm the reason for the trip by Tuesday's afternoon. But the Canadian company's spokeswoman, Liz Cornejo, confirms the company was enthusiastic about the high-level visit.
We were very excited to have the governor and others visit us yesterday. Very supportive of the whole mining industry and is looking for economic development opportunities in the state.
The Palmer Project is a proposed copper, zinc, and silver mine about 35 miles north of Haines. Supporters see potential for job growth in the local economy. But the mineral exploration project has come under fire from conservation groups and a local tribe, which have sued to block exploratory drilling. The same day the delegation toured the site, DEC staff delivered a potential setback for its permitting. A Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling over a case in Hawaii says that if wastewater goes from groundwater to surface water, it's regulated by the Clean Water Act. The case was being appealed to the Supreme Court, but now that's unlikely, as the Hawaii case moved towards a settlement that would make the Ninth Circuit ruling the law of the land. And if that happens, the Palmer Project may need a different type of wastewater permit altogether. That was made clear in DEC's letter dated Monday to the mineral exploration company. Gene McCabe works in DEC's water division in Anchorage.
We need to spend more time evaluating whether in the particular case, particular circumstances of the Palmer Project permit are aligned sufficiently with the particular points of the Ninth Circuit case. And if they are, then the Ninth Circuit case may change the methodology used for permitting.
DEC officials say revoking a permit is rare. McCabe says he hasn't seen a permit pulled back in his 7 years at the department. Mine critic Gershon Cohen of Alaska Clean Water Advocacy welcomed the delay, but he says he's puzzled the federal case is an issue now.
I have to be frank with you. I'm a little surprised because I did raise the issue before, you know, during the permit review period. And they seemed to brush it off at the time.
He says the governor bringing his top environmental regulator to visit a project under his review doesn't have great optics.
It's unfortunate that we have to spend our time, frankly, to be the watchdog while the agency, the Department of Environmental Conservation, is supposed to be being the watchdog for us.
DEC says it will decide whether Constantine needs to start its wastewater permit process from scratch within the next 90 days. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Strempel.
Over 76,000 Alaska students took statewide math and English tests this spring. The state shared the results last week, and as KTOO's Zoe Gruskin reports, there's plenty of room for improvement.
Alaska students in grades 3 through 9 took the tests this spring. Just 2 out of 5 earned at least a proficient score in English language arts. That number is even lower for math. Exactly what proficient means varies by grade level, but for example, to earn that score on the math test, a student in fifth grade has to be able to multiply and divide multi-digit numbers, among other things. For the English test, a fifth grader needs a good grasp on figurative language. This is the third year the state has used this test, called the Performance Evaluation for Alaska Schools, or PEAKS. Assessments Administrator Isaac Paulson says the scores aren't much of a change.
We're down slightly from where we were last year.
But up slightly from the year before that. Paulson says there's not enough data to talk about long-term trends. The state has already published every school district's scores online. School districts can use the results to evaluate programs and inform funding decisions. Students will receive their individual scores, but the state is looking at the big picture. The scores help the state determine which schools need the most support. Aaron Hardin, Special Assistant to the Education Commissioner, says a major goal of the state is closing achievement gaps between different groups of students.
When you look at, say, our economically disadvantaged students, our English learners, our students with disabilities, their results compared to all students, there are large gaps in achievement.
The state is now in the process of determining which Alaska schools need the most support. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
In other local education news, the Juneau School Board last night approved a new 3-year contract for Superintendent Bridget Weiss. Weiss has led the district since last August, first as interim superintendent. The school board made her the official replacement in January. She says she's excited to continue the work.
I am very much looking forward to the next 3 years and looking forward to serving Juno's families and teachers and staff and students and really working towards some of our common goals.
Those goals include increasing the number of students reading at grade level by third grade and strengthening Tlingit language and culture programs. Weiss is a graduate of Juno Douglas High School, Yada Atkakleh. She has worked for the Juno School District since 2014. Western Alaskans' story of how climate change has impacted their lives will be included in an international report set to be released later this month. KNOM's Davis Hovey reports representatives from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration were in Nome and Shishmaref this week to hear input from the region directly.
We're just about to put out the first report we've ever done that looks in depth at the oceans and the frozen parts of the planet.
Co Barrett, the vice chair of the IPCC, says the special report involves tracking water from the tops of glaciers all the way down to the bottom of the saltiest seas. She has been to areas all over the world that are considered vulnerable to climate change impacts, like small islands in the Pacific Ocean. During her first trip to rural Alaska earlier this week, Barrett says she came in without expectations.
I'm just hoping people will share their stories about how things have changed in their lifetimes and what they're worried about for their children and for future generations, just to get sensitized to, you know, what are the key issues people are feeling.
And on Tuesday in Nome, local residents did exactly as Barrett had hoped. Several people like Ukulesa Koklisik, Brandon Amasuk, and Roy Ashenfelter talked about how subsistence fishing or hunting for marine mammals has become more difficult due to sea ice changes. Amasuk mentioned the importance of sea ice for travel between communities in the Bering Strait region and how that is less reliable because of climate change. Oklitsik shared a personal story of loss about his father passing away when trout fishing on unsafe ice. He said, quote, "The ice should have been safe, but it wasn't. People are now risking their lives for food security," end quote. According to Barrett, stories like these and other comments shared by Western Alaskans will be included in the IPCC's final report, as well as some highlights of subsistence concerns. Anama Shannon, the director of Kuwerik's environmental program, says this report is an opportunity for local and regional residents to be heard on a global scale, which has been a long time coming.
And I think it's great that, you know, like Ko said, that it's not some people in a far-off land that have never set foot in Alaska making decisions about what's going to happen here, you know, that they're taking into account local knowledge and how information really translates to people here to keep people safe, to protect infrastructure. I think that's essential to making those kinds of decisions.
Despite Barrett's visit to the region as an influential representative of IPCC and a spokesperson for the final report, Shannon points out that Shishmaref has been the focus of top federal agencies before.
I think that Shishmaref has been the center of a lot of visits and discussions with people in high up places, but how much money has come to them to make the changes, how much attention has turned into actual mitigation strategies, I'm not sure. I don't know what to expect.
According to Barrett, various governments could adopt policies on climate change as a result of the final report, which is influenced by her visit to Nome and Shishmaref.
And in the end, the report is unique in that most of the governments of the world adopt the findings of the report. So that gives it some real standing in the world, and it gives it a lot of prominence in the media. You may have seen a year ago we put out a report on the effects of what 1.5 degrees of warming would be. That was our organization, and that just had widespread coverage. And you know, the hope is that decision makers and policymakers will be taking a look at these findings as they make their decisions.
The IPCC special report on the ocean and cryosphere in a changing climate is expected to be released by the end of this month. Barrett says when she is presenting and discussing the final document with politicians and policymakers, she'll carry Western Alaskans and their stories in her mind and heart. Reporting in Nome, I'm Davis Hovey.
And the city of Cordova is in week six of a water shortage. Prince William Sound community's main reservoir is 9 feet below the spillway mark, forcing the city to pump water to meet demand. The biggest contributors to Cordova's water shortage are the exceptionally dry conditions in coastal Alaska this summer and high demand for water in their fish processing industry. And finally, here's a look at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, chance of rain, lows around 50, light winds. Thursday, rain likely, highs around 60, east winds to 10 miles per hour. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.